Mount of Transfiguration tonight, what would we look in the Bible for that? New Testament or Old Testament? Gospel or epistles? Which one? I believe it's in three. I know it's in two. I believe it's in all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So let's go in our Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 9. Mark, chapter number 9. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 19. And the title tonight's a little bit different, perhaps, than what we would think of, but it's simply this: a fancy faucet is not enough. A fancy faucet is not enough. Beginning in verse number 14 of Mark chapter 9, Jesus has just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He was up there, and the Bible says that the disciples that were with him had seen him transformed, whiter than any fool on earth could whiten him. Of course, they've just now gotten over that, and they've come down, and they see his other disciples in kind of a quandary what they're supposed to do. And so we pick the reading up in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever it taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And he brought him unto him. They brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. Let me just stop and insert this. Jesus didn't ask that question because he didn't know the answer. He asked that question for the people around there. I believe that Jesus is wanting us to know that no matter how old our problem is, he can still fix it. Doesn't matter if it's been just a yesterday problem or a problem since you were a child. God can fix it. So he says, how long has this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. He was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. We'll stop reading there. I want you to note verse number 29 especially. It takes more than just a pretty face. It takes more than just a physique. It takes more than just a great education. Jesus said that it takes more than just a faucet to get the work done. A fellow by the name of Thomas Edward Lawrence was born as a British subject in Wales in the year 1888. That's the same year my grandpa discovered America, though. Now, popularly, he became known as Lawrence of Arabia. Maybe you've heard of him in that fashion. He was known for his exploits with the British military, as a liaison for the Arab revolt in the First World War, and he managed to get Arab countries and tribes together that had never been together, laboring together to war against the Turks in the Second World War. And he became very distinguished as an officer. He didn't have any training as an officer. Most of what he did was done on natural responses to situations, but he became quite well-versed in guerrilla warfare and wrote books on it. He ended up writing a book of his own escapades called The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. And during the time that he was leading all these Arab countries, or nations, I guess they would be called, he became very close to a number of the sheikhs, the men that were in charge of these Arab countries. And so when he came back to the England, after the war, he brought several of these people back with him and wanted to introduce them to his country. He had been all over their countries, and he wanted them to be introduced to his country, England, and so forth. And so he came back, and they were able to take tours through Parliament and one thing or another. They had a sit down with the Queen, and they just treated them really like they were royalty, and just gave them a good tour of the city and what it was like to live in England. And then on the last night of the time that they were there, and they were there for an extended period of time, he asked them if there was something special that they'd like to take back to their desert homes, and they didn't know what to call them. And so they just motioned for him to come. They went upstairs in the hotel where they were staying and went into the bathroom. They pointed to the faucet set, and they said that they would like to take some of those home with them. And he said, well, what on earth would you want to take those home for? And they reached down and turned it on and said, we want something that we can just turn on and have water. And they had not gotten the whole picture of how the system worked. They couldn't see the piping behind the wall. They couldn't see the heaters that heated the water. They couldn't see the water lines and the reservoirs and the pumps and all those things that were behind and out of sight. All they could see was the beautiful faucets, and they thought that the faucets were what they needed to accomplish the same thing in their home. Now, let me share this with you tonight. You can have a 24-karat gold faucet. You can have one that's diamond-studded. But if it's not attached to something, it's worthless. It's no good for anything, except just maybe to melt down for the gold or to pop the diamonds out of the stud settings and so forth. Now, as we think about a faucet tonight, let me say to you that I believe that a faucet is absolutely necessary. And I believe that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are a faucet. You're either a working one or a non-working one. You're a functioning one or non-functioning one. You're either working up to par or you're not working up to par. You maybe used to be working up to par and you're not now. You maybe hadn't for a while, but you've started. There's just a lot of different things we can go. But if you're saved tonight, you are a faucet. And let me say to you, in the work of the Lord, faucets are very necessary. God needs faucets. God has always used human vessels. God has always worked through human vessels. And most of the time when God works through human vessels, He works through some very unlikely and unusual vessels. God can use anyone that God chooses to use. Someone a lot wiser than I am said a long time ago in my hearing, and it kind of stuck, that God can hit some powerful licks with a crooked stick if God owns the stick. But God has to own the stick. No matter how beautiful the faucet is, if it's not connected to the Lord in a proper way, it will not function in the same fashion that God wants it to function. When we think about God using anyone and God not using perfect people, think with me as I go through this short list of some of the people in the Scriptures. Moses had a speech impediment. God said, okay, if you can't speak for me, take Aaron, your brother, he can speak for you. And Moses agreed to do that, but you never find one time that Aaron spoke for Moses. Moses ended up speaking for himself. David's armor, when he first started out into the battle, David's armor didn't fit right. John Mark was a quitter, and Timothy had had health issues. Something was wrong with his stomach. Amos's only training was in a school teaching you how to prune fig trees. And Jacob was a liar, and David had an affair. Solomon was too rich, Abraham was too old, and David was too young. God uses people. Peter was afraid of death, and Lazarus was dead. God uses people. John was self-righteous, Naomi was a widow, and extremely bitter. Miriam was a gossip and probably an original racist. You hear a lot about that today. She probably really was one. Paul was a murderer, so was Moses, and Jonah ran from God. Gideon and Thomas were both doubters, and Jeremiah was a bullfrog, but he wasn't. He was extremely depressed. Elijah was burned out and thought that he was the only one around that was serving God. Martha was a worrywart, and Mary was probably somewhat lazy. Samson had long hair, Noah got drunk, and that's not all that happened in Noah's life. Moses had a short fuse. God doesn't require a job interview. God doesn't hire and fire like most bosses do, because he's more than a boss. He's more like a father, and that's what he tells us to call him. He doesn't look at financial gain and loss records. He looks at our performance, our obedience, our love to him. He's not prejudiced. He's not partial. He's not judging or grudging. He's not sassy or brassy. He's not deaf to our crying or blind to our need. He's not unconcerned, uncaring, or out of control. He's the Lord, and he loves us. And he's looking for people he can use in a tremendous way. Someone once said, "I was never of any use until I found out that God did not intend for me to be a great man. God intended for me to be obedient." God needs us to be faucets. In John chapter 7, verse number 38, the Bible says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The world is dry, dusty, dirty, and needing some help today. And we who know the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're proper faucets, we will produce, God will produce through us a water that will be refreshing to a lost and a dying world. Now, God can have all the plumbing in place. He can have the pump hooked up and ready to pour out a blessing on the people of the world or his own people, but he needs vessels. He needs faucets that he can use. In many cases, the only thing that stops the moving of God is the lack of a vessel. Have you ever stopped to think about the times when the work of God was stopped because there wasn't someone to do the work that God wanted done, and God said, "I'm going to use people where it won't get done"? God uses vessels. When Elisha was performing the miracle for the prophet's widow, there was oil flowing freely. And the Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 6 that it came to pass when the vessels were full that this widow woman said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. You see, the only thing that stopped the flow of the oil was a lack of another vessel to fill. Had they gathered another 100 vessels, they could have still been filling vessels long after they stopped. Now, don't ask me to explain to you why it is that God decides to use imperfect vessels to accomplish his work. I have no idea. I have no idea other than the fact that God wants to use us. God is always seeking men and women that he can work through, that he can move, that he can turn on and off like he wants to, that'll do what he wants done, the way he wants it done, when he wants it done, where he wants it done, and why he wants it done. He's looking for vessels like that. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22 and verse number 30, the Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." It's a bad thing when God's looking for something to stop sin and he finds no vessel, no faucet that he can work. And in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "But the Lord said unto him," he's speaking to Ananias, "Go thy way, for he," the Apostle Paul, "is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name unto the Gentile, before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." If you're a Gentile tonight, you better thank the Lord that there was a vessel that he could use, because it's through the Apostle Paul that we heard the gospel of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. God said, it's up to me. It's up to me. I'm responsible for this vessel. And the Bible says that I am to know how to possess my vessel in sanctification and in honor. God wants to use me, but I have no excuse for him not using me. It's my responsibility. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 21, the Bible says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. God is looking for vessels that aren't just pretty ornaments. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, the Bible says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. God says they're a weaker vessel. He doesn't say they're a worthless vessel. God says he wants to use women vessels, women faucets also. Do you understand how important to the work of the Lord you really are? Vessels meet for the master's use. He will not move without a vessel. And he will not force us to submit to him. God will not pour out his spirit without a faucet for it to flow through, and you and I are those faucets. And tonight, let me say that there's a preacher friend of mine says, when he was teaching his young boy how to drive, you who are learning how to drive, listen to this very careful. There's a ditch on both sides of the road. You go this way, there's a ditch, and you go this way, there's a ditch. And in the business of faucets, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. On one side of the road is a person who says, well, I'm beautiful, I'm sanctified, I'm separated, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. But they've missed the business about staying in connection in a very intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit of God. They've missed that, and consequently, you turn on the spigot and you don't get anything. Maybe just some gurgling, some noise. On the other hand are the people that say, well, God's going to do everything. It's up to God. God's going to do everything. And God does do everything, but God does everything through a faucet. And so tonight, I think, as Fundamental Baptists, we need to examine our hearts and our lives and ask the Lord, do we have the proper division? Do we have the proper aligning of the vessel with all the unseen things that are behind, out of sight, the things that the world can't see? Are we what we're supposed to be for the cause of Christ? You see, the Bible teaches us plain that a pretty faucet isn't all it takes. A fancy faucet is not enough. We need to be hooked up on a regular basis. Listen, you can't hook up on the way to church and expect God to bless you. You can't hook up on the way to church and then disconnect on the way going home and expect God to bless you and use you. Listen, this is my prayer for God, to God, for Bethel Baptist Church in 2020, that God will use us in greater ways than he ever has before, that he'll use a greater number of us in greater ways than he ever has before. But we can't just be a pretty ornament. Here's the thing. We need to know of the Lord's desire to use us. We need to know that he wants to use us. He needs us. But we need never forget that any faucet without the unseen backing of the Lord is just a piece of iron junk. Just junk. They could have shipped a whole plane load, a whole truckload, a whole shipload of faucets back over to the desert, and all that had done is just fallen apart, rusted, and came undone because they didn't have the technology behind it. We can know everything we're supposed to know, have done everything we're supposed to have done, but if we're not in that intimate relationship with the Lord, he can't use us like he wants to use us. And when the Lord is using us, that's when we're a satisfied people. Nothing satisfies the child of God like pillow on his head at night, saying, Lord, thank you for using me today. We got it good today, didn't we, Lord? And brag on him as you fall off to sleep. Nothing will help you sleep better. Nothing will help you in your health better. Nothing like knowing you're more than just a pretty faucet. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heads bowed, please. Eyes closed. Father, I thank you tonight. As we look across the list, Lord, of people that you used in just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ways. Lord, we wonder how you ever got anything finished, how you ever accomplished anything. And yet you did. Through men and women and young people, Lord, that just said, I'm not much, but I'm all yours, Lord. And they not only said that, but they meant that. They lived that. They did that. And Lord, you did some just awesome things with them. Lord, I know that there's not a perfect person here. Not a perfect person in the pew, not a perfect person in the pulpit. But Father, we want to be vessels. We want to be faucets that can deliver the life-saving, life-changing, life-altering gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world in such a way that it's believable. In such a way, Lord, that you can bless it. In such a way that you can empower it. And you can use it to change lives. Help us, Father, tonight to allow you to search our hearts, to allow you to know us, Lord, to help us to know ourselves. And Father, as we leave this place, may we go determined that we're going to be a vessel meet for the Master's use. We're going to be a faucet that you can use for your honor and for your glory. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, shall we please, with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Piano begins.